Okay, so this is mentoring workshop. So I have in front of you something to keep you focused so you don't feel like you just heard a teaching and you don't want to be like having to take it all in on your own again. So it's usually helpful, right, when you can track along and then be able to take it home and have it as a resource. So we will go through this not fast, because this really is the time to hopefully glean some things that will be helpful when mentoring too.
Sorry.
No, don't worry about it, it's fine. There you go. Do you need a pen?
No, we're fine.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Titus 2 ministry is, a ministry where the older women get involved with younger women in the Lord to help them grow in their faith. So you do know that that is referenced in Titus 2, verses 2, 3 through 5. And it's really the ministry of all women that are spiritually able and mature enough to be able to handle the Word of God and to pour into the life of another that needs to be walked alongside to grow in their faith. And it's important that we understand that mentoring, when getting involved with another gal, that it's not your opinions and good advice. It really is what the Lord has to say, though you will give your opinions and advice at times. It's not like you never do. But it really is where we're coming alongside to keep pointing gals back to Jesus, to the source. So let's just open in a word of prayer and then dive into what you have in front of you. God, we're again just glad for time like this to learn, and thank you for those who are walking in this and have been pouring into the lives of others. And I just pray it would be an encouragement to them of what they're already doing, and then maybe some things you might just spark in them to remember or try or whatever. So, and those who just are desiring and willing to say, yes, Lord, I want to do that, then may this be only helpful, and may you breathe life in it. May it not feel dutiful or anything like that, but just help us to know that this is just opportunity to learn and grow together. So we ask you to bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in the beginning we have four things that there's a lot of things we can cover, and we're going to cover quite a bit, but four main focus points for us when coming alongside younger women. The first is the gospel is grace. The gospel is grace. The second is the Bible and sound doctrine. Third, biblical womanhood. Fourth, humbly leading. Okay? Four main focus points for us this morning when coming alongside a younger woman. So the first one, the gospel is grace. So in this, there's many books that talk on biblical womanhood, and they can tend to be really strong on practice, but weak on principle. Women's teachings can often degenerate into a list of do's and don'ts when it comes to women's things when we teach. And like, for example, things we might tell other women in a ministry like Titus 2, a younger women, kiss your husband when he walks in the door. Make sure you have regular dates with your children. Keep your cupboards organized. Prepare meals for a whole month in one day. And these things that some people do that. Maybe you're one of them in this room and it's awesome and I just think you're rad. But if we're like, this is what you need to do and this is what you shouldn't do and this way, it's not what God calls us to do, right? But we have fallen into that quite a bit in churches and in a ministry like Titus 2. But it's particularly damaging, isn't it, for women, because many of us really long for self-transformation and we excel at comparing ourselves. We excel at comparing ourselves with others. We listen to a talk on womanhood and we walk away with 20 things that we need to change right now, right? But Paul does not let us get away with rule-based teaching. He doesn't. He even addresses the specifics of godly living, it says in your outline. And he makes it clear that our behavior flows from the gospel. The next thing, it is sound doctrine that gives godliness its shape. It is the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So it should then be our desire as older women to adorn the gospel, to live and model the gospel, which motivates good deeds, Titus 2:10 says. So in light of this, living and modeling the gospel that motivates good deeds, we need to recognize that mentoring is God's way to lift another towards their full potential. In Christ, of course, or in their role as a wife, in their role as a mom, in their role as a single mom, or someone who's been divorced. That we get to, with God's help them move and be pulled up and towards their full potential in the Lord. In Genesis, we read about mentoring as Moses is counseled and encouraged by his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses reaches out and he begins to mentor two leaders in Israel, Joshua and Caleb. In other books, we see Naomi mentoring Ruth. And watch a young prophet in training, Elisha, running to keep up with Elijah to learn. These were parents, if you will, or pace setters to those then that followed them. Examples, right, of doing life with another and encouraging them on in their faith is what you get to do as well. Another form of mentoring is side-by-side mentoring. An example of this is seen in Jonathan's peer mentoring of David. In the New Testament, God sent his son to be the supreme model of mentoring. Day and night, we know that Jesus taught and encouraged, modeled, invested in the lives of his disciples. Training was dependent on sermons to shape these men much of the time and how he began to explain things that they didn't understand thereafter. So Jesus, the way he did life with his disciples and mentored and trained them, was by sharing his life and his ministry with them daily for 3 years. Mentoring is relational and it must be deliberate, whether one-on-one, in a small group, or what have you. So that's what I want us to really hear, is that there's these different ways of mentoring, right? Like I just read, there was the different ways of daily, ongoing in ministry, Jesus mentored his disciples. There was also, there's the one-on-one mentoring. There's small group mentoring. There's informal mentoring, going and getting coffee and just listening and praying for. And then there's more formal one-on-one or small group, you know, having a book and doing a 4-6 week, you know, or so small group time together. I've been a part as the mentoree in all of those several times in my life, and I think all of them are amazing. To be in a small group, like small, like, you know, not like 8 people, but more like if you were the mentor and you had 3 other gals, 4 other gals, tops, even just 2. I mean, you're pouring into that many more, right, for one. But then there's something that happens in the dynamic when you have a couple of gals say, like, it's really on my heart. I really want to encourage these young moms, you know, and in their faith, how to keep Jesus at the forefront instead of what everyone else is doing. You know, so you invite a couple. And maybe you go through a book and you really just have a starting time and an ending time, and it's really purposeful and intentional. There's so much fruit that comes from that. But there also is from one-on-one, being very intentional. It's really good to be intentional. And it's really good to have the informal as well. So anyhow, there's different ways of going about being invested in people's lives. But I think the main thing is, and it's not in your notes, is that you need to really, you need to know your life, what you can do, okay? So there may be someone you're like, oh, I'd really like to meet with her. Or someone asks you, I'd like you to meet with me. Can you? You say, let me really talk to my husband if you're married. Let me ask of the Lord. Let me really see what I have going so that you can actually give, you know, 100% and not just try to make it happen. Because there's someone else that can do that, right? So you need to know your life and your schedule. It's important. So on to the next highlighted part. It says, only a woman that knows the gospel will live her life in the loving freedom that comes from grace. Knowing the gospel. You. I'm talking to you. Rather than attempting to meet her Christian culture's version of perfect womanhood. And that's what we want to teach other younger women. Going on to number two, the Bible and sound doctrine. Another important focus for you to understand when mentoring another is this, that as you teach others and encourage women, there's a need to constantly remind them and even yourself that most of what you say or the practical advice that you will give is not God-ordained. It is not God-ordained, not always anyways. Meaning, they are to be graciously reminded that God is ever so patient with our slowness to change, and that we're forgiven and transformed through His grace alone. Because never are they, the girl or gals that you'll spend time with, they're never to feel judged or condemned, but always pointed faithfully to God's word. So our goal then is to make Christ preeminent and not circumstances. That's our desire when meeting with a younger gal in the faith, is that we want them to grow in making Jesus preeminent in their life and not their circumstances, okay? Because that's really who you'd be dealing with, is a lot of younger people in the faith that are wanting to put other things before the Lord. Or they're like, I really want to grow in the Lord, but, you know, and there's things you need to point out, and there's things you are going to have to say, and you do need to address, but never to make them feel condemned or they're not good enough. That's what I'm saying, right? The goal is that they would want to make Jesus preeminent in their life and not their circumstances. And that comes from us understanding Bible, understanding sound doctrine. We need to be prepared, able to give answers for things. When mentoring others younger in the faith, our first responsibility is that we ourselves know and understand the essentials of our faith. And that seems like a no-duh, but a lot of times there are people that say, yeah, I really want to get involved and be a mentor. Sure, I'll do it. But they haven't had, maybe you've never been discipled ever. You never really have grown in the foundations of your faith. You don't know about certain things that could trip up a newer believer, someone growing in the Lord that has not understood what the Trinity is, what, you know, spiritual warfare is. And it's important that we know. Now, we don't need to know everything. God still wants to use us, but it's good for us to be learners of the word. There are certain things that do come up, like I mentioned. And it's sound doctrine, not just other people's ideas that we have to have. This also involves a most crucial need for us as mentors, and that is the ability to listen. Listening not only to just be able to give an answer, but for you to be able to discern how to ask questions, right? Question asking is huge with mentoring. And it takes time. Sometimes it's really easy for certain people. So when you said that, were you thinking this? And what, you know, just being able to ask poignant questions, like with whatever they are going through. And maybe you're meeting with someone that's kind of, it's awkward and they're not really, it's hard to get things going with them if you're not using a book or something or what have you as a tool. But to be able to ask questions, so tell me, how did you come to know the Lord? You gain information, right? Sometimes when you start off, when you first meet with someone and you ask that, so tell me about your relationship with the Lord. When did you get saved? You should always be asking that first. Because sometimes you may discover, because we've had experiences here with women where they've been meeting with people for X amount of time, all to discover they weren't even saved. They had just been coming to church and they liked everything and they believed a lot of things, but there wasn't this, like, there was never conversion. So that's always a really important starting place. Because from that, then you'll discover, oh, really? So that happened, and then it leads into, now tell me about your family life, and are your parents saved? And da-da-da-da, carries on. Question asking. There's more to that as well, but the main responsibility that we have is, again, to just simply learn from God's word, but together. Like, we can learn with those we're mentoring. We may not have all the answers. So again, this is to validate some of us who are like, I've never really even been mentored before. Some of us in this room have never been mentored. But you will at some point, right? it's important to be mentored, but we're gonna get to the humble leading. We can be studying together with those we meet with in the Word. We could be showing by way of example that we are able to be humble, which is a highlighted section, a humble teacher. It says, a humble teacher can only truly be humble if remaining a humble learner as well. It isn't where you are going to mentor someone and you have to always look like you're on top of the, you know, on the game all the time and have all the answers. There may be times when you say, I simply don't know. And I'm sorry that you're going through such a hard time in that area. I don't know what to tell you with, you know, something that maybe is reoccurring with their spouse or, but has nothing to do with the spouse, it has to do with them. There's just so many endless things that could come your way. But to model humility and to be able to show that you can be a humble learner, maybe you can't point them to something in the Word that they're asking you to show them, but you say, you know what, let's look for that together, or can I just call you? I'll tell you where it's at. It speaks volumes when you as a leader can remain in a lowly position as well with them. It makes you extremely approachable. At the heart of godly womanhood is confident trust in God, an inner strength that comes from deep personal knowledge of the Bible and of God's sovereign purposes. Women, like men, need roots that go deep into God's word, living daily in his truth, which take us now to the third focus for us when meeting with others, which is biblical womanhood. Biblical womanhood. Women need to hear about God's plan for them as women. Because in this day and age, there's lots of blurred lines, and it's almost not attractive to hear anymore in the church about biblical womanhood. You know, like, there isn't. But for women in our care to understand then that manhood and womanhood were not an afterthought in God's design for humanity. From the moment of creation, God made us male and female, equal before God, yet with different roles and responsibilities. The woman made to be man's helper, serving God in light of the created order. You can find that in Genesis 1 through 3 and 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 15. And this is important. So I hope you're able to hear how I'm saying all this, because these are important things that go on in our life, things that you may be dealing with a certain individual, that biblical womanhood is like foreign language to many girls these days. Maybe not for many of you in this room that are older in the faith, But those that are new mamas with babies, it's like, what? It's more like, no, the role of my husband is really, it's been reversed, is to take really my role. Like when husband comes home, he takes the baby, he helps clean, he does, like, he takes over. That's very normal in our society, and not that there shouldn't be some of that. I'm just saying that there's been such a switching in roles that it's important for you ladies that study the word. Okay, so that's why I was saying sound doctrine, the gospel being grace, sound doctrine, now biblical womanhood, it all comes together because you have to understand what the word says. So that when you meet with a young gal that's like, no, I'm going to go to work, or no, I'm going to, like, they just decide what they're going to do without considering their God, right? Making their plans, but not even letting God direct their steps, right? I know that we all are guilty of that of sorts, but still the call for us is to practice not doing that, and then knowing what the word says so that we can best raise up godly women that are seeking God, making Jesus preeminent, not their own ways, not what culture says, right? So that's what this, and just reframing your thought for what we're doing right now with this. In Titus 2, 3 through 5, it spells out what this looks like. In life of a young married woman with children, she is to love her husband and children, to stay pure, self-controlled as well, managing her own home, practicing kindness, and being submissive to her own husband. So we need to remember that this does not mean, what it doesn't mean, is that a married woman shouldn't do paid work outside of the home, as long as it supports rather than undermines her commitment to home and family. Okay, that's important, right? So it's not taking what Titus 2 just said about what a woman should be doing and saying, oh, she needs to stay home and she needs to be doing these things. It's not what it says entirely in its totality. Women can work. But the encouragement that we are to offer is that when there is an opportunity and it is in the best interest of family and children to be able to stay home, that she's willing to yield to the Lordship of Jesus, and if her husband's wanting to. On the flip side, there's many women that want to stay home, and how are you gonna encourage them, that woman, when husband says you need to work? What are you gonna say? Well, no, Titus 2, you will not, and write this down, you must never get in the way of husband and wife. You're called to the woman. And your call, again, back to what I said, is to point them to Jesus, what his word says. That's why you need to know it, so that you don't go by sympathizing for her only, or, you know, by emotions, but you're able to say, well, I have a friend actually in this situation. She's been home for years with her three kids, and her husband wanted her to go to work. And they have an open relationship, let's call it. You know, she let him know, no. And he let her know, yes. And they had to go through their things. But as a friend, and she just entrusted me with that area in their life, was able to say, you know, she already knew. She's mature enough. But we all need that help, don't we? To say, you just trust God. He can change his heart, but you do the footwork. If he asks you to get a job, then you do the footwork. And you honor your husband, because by honoring what he asked you, you're obeying God. And you're truly honoring God. And then it's up to the Lord. Maybe you won't get hired anyway. And for the longest time, she was closed door. And she'd be like, you know, and he'd be like, wah! Anyhow, she's actually working now. She got a job. And she's having to trust God. So it's not like God did what she and I secretly hoped, right? Now closed door, God will provide him with more money or these other things. There was no room for that. Do you get it? There's no room for the what ifs. When you're entrusted with someone else, even your own friends, but that of someone younger in the Lord, you're trying to teach them that you are able to trust Jesus, okay? And you are called to submit to your own husband in that way, because you're really submitting to the Lord. That's the beauty of that, right? But you have to first believe it yourself. And if that challenges you, then that's okay. But you need to get that settled. Like certain areas, you need to get settled and work those things out with the Lord in the Word and talking and meeting with someone else. Get a little mentoring yourself, okay? It's okay. There's hot topics. There just are. And for some, it's like, nope, black and white, we just say it. And others, it's like, no, it's totally fine. Why? Why should you do that? You know, and we have to remember that we're called to lead people to what Jesus says, not what we think is acceptable. Titus is clear that this is where our primary focus is to lie. Yet in saying this, we as mentors, encouragers, must remind and teach women to not let their home, though, become an idol. So even though we're to teach them to be busy at home and keep yourself at home, in the event that this is a married woman with kids, anyhow, that is what Scripture says. But we are not to encourage homes becoming an idol, children becoming an idol, family, even their marriages becoming an idol. On the flip, we're not to encourage jobs being an idol, that's at the forefront, which it really is today. Like having jobs and no kids is at the forefront and encouraged and most focused on in the church. So by saying, you know, being and encouraging women with what Titus 2, 3 through 5 says in that way, we are not encouraging household idolatry. Because with teachings and ministries of Titus 2, there has been at times subtle encouragement for household idolatry, forgetting or sidelining those women that are wonderfully single, called by God to singleness. It's a gift. It may not always feel that way. Singleness becomes then this perceived waiting room for marriage rather than an opportunity to serve Christ with undivided attention. Read 2 Corinthians 7, 32 through 35 on what Paul says. Singleness is a gift. And that's something we should encourage young gals that are single. I meet with several gals that are single. And they'd love to be married. And many of you here know many single gals, especially in our church, and you're thinking, like, what the heck? Why are they single? There's so many amazing, really godly, beautiful girls, and they're single. It's perplexing, but we won't go into that topic. But to meet with them is to not focus on their singleness. It's to focus on what Jesus is doing in their life and wants to do, to move their focus on him. Again, Jesus being preeminent, not their current situation. And the family home can become an end in itself sometimes to those who are married and with kids. It can be the end in itself rather than the place to just, no, I'm called to be home so I can reach out to others, so I can bring others in my home, so I can show hospitality, whether you're married or single. That's the home, the life of a woman being in the home, being busy at home, whether you're married with kids, single, what have you. Your home is a place for you to be ministering the love of Jesus Christ, not just to focus on raising a family only. So, let us remember then that Titus 2 encourages these that are to be busy at home. Here's another perspective for us, that also it says that they are also to be kind in 1 Timothy. So this, what I'm saying here is that when you focus so much on Titus 2 and older women encouraging younger women to be da 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 da, all the things I've said a few times, because the focus can be so much on being in the position of home from the Bible, what we see in the Bible, and yet we are have the tension of what the world says and what we have currently going on in society, we need to remember the whole picture, that this isn't just about raising up godly women to be married, raising up godly women to have kids and raise godly kids only, because that's what it can seem like in this passage, right? It is also to remember that God says pour into women, remembering that it says that we're to teach them also to be kind, self-controlled, not given to much wine. You know, that's the goal, to be even a leader over women and encourager and mentor. And we want to be training and pouring into the women these fine gifts and characters of Jesus. And the word kind is linked to many good deeds of godly women. Like I said, not just bringing up children, but also showing hospitality, serving Christians, and caring for the needy. A godly woman's home is not only a secure refuge, but it is also a base for loving, serving, and reaching out to others. And I beg your pardon because I said that already. I said that and then I repeated it. So we have this call to know how to encourage biblical womanhood. And when a mentoree wants to work and not be at home with kids, when a woman doesn't want to have kids and won't even consider it, like I said, when a divorced woman feels unusable, when a single woman is discontent, when a widow is unsure of what is next, your call in this area of biblical womanhood is to come alongside and remind them of the truth and what the Lord says. So when we are in that place, we go down to number 4 focus for us as mentors, and that is being able to humbly lead. And I believe that as a mentor, a leader must exhibit humility in that she also can learn from the mentoree even. Mentoring is about surrendering to the process rather than controlling it. Mentoring is about providing the gift of advice and helping the mentoree to become a self-directed learner and an eventual leader herself. So I'm just glad that you have the notes, because some of the things I felt were the most important, like highlighted, are there for you. Because sometimes you don't hear it when someone's saying it. So, let me see, 11:20. So humbly leading. I doubt that Paul was thinking of formal teaching or even formal mentoring when he encouraged you older women in the Lord to teach the younger women, because both teaching and mentoring have their places. The items that were named by Paul on the list for us to be teaching were very practical, like loving your husband, managing your home, staying pure. And young women need older women. So just understand that. Like, younger women really need older women in the Lord to come alongside them and give them help and support in the different stages and moments of life. For you to be able to offer wisdom from your own life experience and to be able to support them by you being a godly example is just so crucial these days. Simply walking alongside a young gal is what we are to do while listening and learning to ask questions. You and I, listening and learning to ask questions as the Holy Spirit prompts us. We don't need to be a theologian. Neither do we need to have lengthy training in order to be used. We are to be living out our own faith, as challenged earlier in that message, and working out our own salvation with fear and trembling before our holy God, and trusting that what God has called you to, he'll be faithful to lead you in with whomever he chooses for you to pour into. So it's just remembering that God gives you his word. That's what you need to exhort and for you to teach. And it's important that you remember to seek help when you get stuck. There's so many of us that never ask. I mean, because if you're like, I mentor someone or I've been discipling this new believer, there's something about what feels like I've been doing this that many, not all, but many people won't ever say, oh my gosh, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But because of almost this title, if you will, of a mentor leader, you know, so it's really important that you are always okay with asking questions from someone else and getting prayer, seeking advice. I bounce off many of the women, things off with them regularly. Leanne and I talk a lot. I'll say, okay, so I said this, and this is the reason why I said it to her. Would you agree with that? Do you think that was wise? And she'll say, I trust her. There's safety in counsel, right? God does speak to you. He will give you words to say, but you can be wrong, okay? And then it requires this kind of humble leading to be able to go back and say, you know, when I said this, it actually isn't really right. I don't believe that's what God would have wanted me to say. And you correct yourself the way we are supposed to do with our own children, right? Is that thunder? So, a humble learner makes a humble teacher/leader. A humble learner makes a humble teacher/leader. So, I want us to remember that discipling, mentoring women does not generally take place in a formal setting. It happens naturally as we're willing to get involved in another's life. So, that's important, okay? Where are you at? I said it at the close of the message. Where are you currently at? Are you involved in a community group? Your sphere of influence, where is it? Who's in your life already? Has God already shown you? Is there someone already that's been put on your heart or you've had certain dialogue and stuff with? If so, then that's the way you should go. That's the person you should ask. Would you like to meet for coffee? Are you interested in having a mentoring relationship? Would you like to be, you know, you just do it that way. But we often get calls, or the pastors will let us know that, you know, there's a gal and she really needs someone to meet with her. She needs mentoring, da, da, da. And so to be able to call on some of you women will be a huge blessing. But we'll get to that part. So sometimes it's not just, you know, right there. It might be that someone comes up to you and asks you to mentor, or you're asked if you could mentor somebody. So understanding the process is where we're going to head and end. Understanding the process. Before undertaking the mentoring role, it's essential to understand the process and that there actually is a process or should be a process. And there's a few helpful things to remember. First off, it says on your notes, it's a confidential relationship between mentor and mentee, and this confidence must be respected at all times. Chad and I, my husband and I, we may know the people that, he may know who I meet with, I may know who he meets with. Sometimes he had no clue I was meeting with a certain someone, and the same for me with people he meets with, but we never, we discussed it when he first became a pastor, that there is nothing that he will share with me just to share. I'm the wrong person to share anything with, and vice versa. Anything that has to do with another confiding in you, you know how it would be if you confided in another. You confided because you trusted that person. Okay, so by trusting a person, you would die, and then some, much other, be angry and hurt and everything else if you found out that that person was sharing what they confided in you, okay? So it must be confidential. Now, that can take time. It takes time to establish trust, you know? So the first time you meet with someone, don't expect them to share everything. It takes patience, praying, discerning, and knowing how to ask questions to be able to get things moving and rolling with certain people, especially. Highly confidential, and they need to know that about you. The next thing is, the role of us as mentors is to help the person move from self-reliance on others or on others and or their circumstances, whether past or present things, to a reliance upon Jesus, okay? Now, you might like hear a lot of these things. That's why it'll be important for you to just kind of go over your notes on your own and maybe be led to ask questions as you kind of go through things. Okay, I'd like to understand this a little more, and wait, what? Let the Lord speak to you a little more thoroughly on these things, because that is obvious that we would want to move someone away from self-reliance or reliance on another or being hung up on their past to relying upon Jesus. Of course, you get that. But what you really need to understand is that when you begin meeting with someone, woman to woman, you suddenly forget that that you are the mentor and they are the mentoree. It doesn't mean, you know, you are, it's like teacher. They are disciple-y and they're following you. They're looking to you for a time. And write this down, because this is important on the side, because I'm sort of veering for a moment. It is very important to establish boundaries in the very beginning. It would be after asking, perhaps, tell me about yourself. When did you get saved? You know, another important question with your first meeting, it would be, what are you hoping to get out of our time together? You may have already heard some of it by what they shared, perhaps, but you would want to ask that. And then you would want to tell that gal, okay, this is what I can commit to for right now. Why don't we plan on meeting for, I'm just going to say, a time. You'll know what to say for yourself. You'd be led on your own. But let's meet for the next 6 weeks, once a week. And you might have to be even more, like, structured. Like, and I know for a fact I have this day available and this much time. And that's, see, it's helpful. It's not that you're restricting. It's just that you know your schedule and what you can give, and you're on it. For that hour and a half or whatever it is, it's you and me on that day for this much time. 6 weeks, we'll reevaluate and we'll see where things are at. The importance of this is that what can happen if you don't do that, you can go on and on and on, and suddenly there's no boundary there, and you don't know how to quite end it. There should be an ending, because you see, the whole idea is to come alongside, spend a certain amount of time to invest. Not that it's like, okay, I did that, 6 weeks over, next. It's not that. It's just that some people, if not all, we all need some boundaries, and it helps us to keep up with commitment on both ends, for the mentor and the mentee. It helps us to understand, like, we only have 6 weeks together, let's make the most of it, rather than when it's not communicated, it could really drag on. And it can actually become less fruitful if it isn't real intentional, okay? Then if you choose, and depending, sometimes, I mean, it turns into a friendship, and it transitioned into that, okay? So there's so many other things I could say along those lines, but that is a real big one. Starting time, ending time. Okay, so the next thing is, it is for us to establish the mentor-mentor relationship from the start. Okay, so that's what I just said. So that is the third one, that there would be clarity in the relationship, okay, because it really is the way it works best, and communication. So that's just the last thing I would tag on to what I just said. Communication is key to everything and every relationship. Keep communication ongoing. How are you doing? How have you been doing since we last met? Where are you at with the Lord? Tell me how I can be praying. Have circumstances changed? Again, you're asking questions, but you're communicating, meeting, you know, inquiring of her needs. Fourth, it is knowing that the real aim and main goal is that of ongoing growth in the gal you're meeting with, and not about perfection or accomplishment in them. Okay, they got over that. Okay, there's victory. Okay, we can move on. It's not that. It's not about trying to make ourselves feel good about how we're doing with this gal, right? It's about just dwelling with them, with where they're at, and letting the Lord carry on. So, as mentors, pouring into another. We accept the call to a disciple and pour into another by sharing and doing life with them. The mentee will most likely then go forth, and they then, this is the ultimate goal, is that you're equipping someone to be able to then pour in. They then begin mentoring and discipling. And then those who they've mentored and discipled continue to go on with mentoring and discipling because they have been taught well by you. They have learned that the gospel really is grace because of the way you've lived. They have learned that Bible and sound doctrine actually matter. So to think is important. To know what God's word says is crucial. And that you would have trained up a woman in biblical womanhood, not what the world says about womanhood. That you would be humbly leading and modeling Jesus to other women. Do you know that by doing this, you are training up women to do what you just did to her? It becomes attractive, and it almost is seen as the only way. Like, I'm so thankful, like, that the women who poured into me, that's what they did. They modeled Jesus. They taught me well. They dwelled with me and didn't always give me answers when I was hurting, but knew when I needed to hear answers or correction. They did not just become my friend right away. They were my leader. I chose to follow. So it's up to the Lord to make that happen in someone who says they want to be mentored. But you stay focused as a mentor in what God's called you to do. And the goal is to see the Lord raise up young women, you know, that are really in love with Jesus. So where I will conclude with the outline part. There are resources on that back page for you. I said required reading, and it's really just very helpful to add to what I said. Forgive me if it feels a little fragmented, because it does to me, because I've taught this several times, but not in this way, like with an outline. It's been more of a teaching to women who want to know about Titus 2. But still, the information is there, and there are key points that must be adopted and adhered to. And I really recommend you looking into some of these references or resources. Obviously, the Bible is key in mentoring, and then Elise Fitzpatrick's books are just really awesome books. Women Encouraging Women is, I'm hearing from others, and I believe as well, is more apropos, if you will, for this body and where you're at. Women Counseling Women deals with a lot of other things, like addiction and different things like that, that we would probably send towards someone who's been equipped and trained in biblical counseling. But it's still helpful. And then Because He Loves Me is just really a good book, and we find that it actually has, it seeps out a lot into where women are at because they lack proper understanding of their identity in Christ, right? Don't we all? And that He really loves me. It's a radical book. The way she wrote it's really good. So we are just 5 minutes over in time. I want to honor you to be able to leave if you have kids, but if there's any questions, I want it to be able to answer any questions. Just any simple, quick, you know, I really would have hoped, would have really liked to have heard this or that. Yes, Jen.
Just more on that, like, how to have, I mean, there's a lot of people in our lives, I think, organically who mm-hmm. are just there, but to be available, like, how do we be available mm-hmm. for, like you were saying about, is there, like, some sort of a list, and we're just on a list, and we can call, and make, like, if it's a good match?
Okay, thank you. Is there a way to, how do you get involved and be available outside of just what's already naturally going on in community group is a question. I was supposed to say that the next step for all of you with hearing this and just wanting to respond to maybe being involved more formally, like us being able to call you to mentor, that you would go to the women's ministry website, that we have up and running, and it's on there for to volunteer, and you'd fill out an application. Because you see, it's like having, when you entrust anyone in a church, like into the role of like, when the pastors say, we need someone that is able to meet with someone else, we can't just be like, oh, she was at our meeting, and I don't know everybody, and it's, you know, so we need to have, it's a process, just like children's ministry. You know, you don't just have any old person, because they love kids, go and work in the children's classroom. You're entrusting people to the care of your kids. So the same thing, we're entrusting you women the care of other women. So you would want to go and fill out an application, and then Leanne, myself, maybe another, would contact you, and we go from there, and we'll meet, and then we just move forward from there. And then, yes, we would have like a running list that just knows, okay, she really has a heart for leading small groups, or she wants to do one-on-ones. And so does that answer? Yes. Okay. So that is a next step. Go to the website. Any other questions? Anything practical, like what the heck would I do in this situation or anything like that? Okay, so with that, though, in the event that you are already mentoring or you start to take on mentoring more formally here at Reality, then you need to really know that myself and Leanne Tsuji are available. That's what we do in this role, in this ministry, is that we're available if you're stumped or you have questions or you're having a problem with somebody and you don't know how to deal with it. Because we need that. In a church this size, what would you do if we said, start mentoring this person is at work, and you start and there's a problem or whatever, and you don't know that you have a backing, if you will, and support. Okay, so there is support here. There's established support. It's not like we'll try and find you support. There's already support, okay? So I want you to know that. And in the event that you have more questions, or suddenly when you're at home or driving, you're like, shoot, like going to the doctor, you know, like I was going to ask this, or I hoped I'd hear this, or, you know, please email us. The website has the email there for you, okay? The email is on the website, yes.
It's just someone in my particular life that doesn't even know they're being mentored. I mean, is there something special that I need to know?
So if you're mentoring someone more organically and that person doesn't even really know they're being mentored, is there something that you should know to be doing with that person?
Yeah, do you have any advice around that?
Any advice? I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, and if anyone else wants to say something, you can, but is, are they a believer?
Well, no.
Okay, sort they're of, not a believer.
Sort of.
They think they're a believer.
Yes.
Okay.
It's my roommate. She sort of believes she's a believer. Her father really wants to encourage her to come here.
Okay.
And she's, like, not
open to it.
Mm-hmm. She's not asking for it. She's pretty much resistant. But on the other hand, she asked my advice on things, so I want to be able to just pour Jesus into her. And is there any advice on how to pour Jesus into a resistant person who know they want it, and if they had Jesus in their life, that they would be happy with it, but they're just not freely.
Okay, so someone that doesn't really want to receive the Lord, but how do you go about helping them to want to respond to the Lord? Really, you need to, though the scripture in 2 Peter talks about wives winning their husbands over without a word, their unbelieving spouses, I believe very much so that that's what we need to do, is you need to be modeling, as you, I'm sure, are, but without words, most of the time, perhaps more in how you serve her, that you are showing her Jesus in the way you live. and that you're praying. I mean, those are the two main things for someone that's either struggling in their faith, is not walking with the Lord, and is an unbeliever. Then we should be modeling the love of Jesus, lavishing the love of Jesus, serving them like Jesus would, and praying and interceding. It's up to the Lord to change hearts, right? So, yeah, that's my advice for sure. Yeah, encouragement.
John read the book because he loves me.
You could always encourage someone, get them a book, or for you to read. I mean, we don't know. I mean, you just need to be led of the Holy Spirit. You know, perhaps God would put on your heart to read a book like that because he loves me, and what that might do in you could indeed be impactful in someone else's life. But again, you just want to be, God already tells us what we're to do. And then anything in addition is because you're believing you heard something from the Lord yourself, you know? So, yeah, you focus on your walk with the Lord and let her do what she's doing, and trust that, and trust her over to the Lord. Really surrender her, perhaps, over to the Lord, because it sounds like, you know, like any of us, when we focus on what we really would like people to be doing, or we'd really hope they'd get something, we get bothered or discouraged or frustrated. And that's when we just know, like, that's not what God wants. He wants you to focus on your walk with the Lord. That's it. Okay, so I'm going to be around to, if you suddenly have questions, and you can mill around or just leave or whatever you need to do. But let me just pray a blessing over your women, and just know that I'm super thankful for you and what God's doing. And I pray that you're encouraged, and you can listen to the other workshops too, whenever they get up. So, God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We close it and seal the work you've done in Jesus' name. And I pray that you would speak to these women on what it is to be a mentor and to walk after you and then to pour into another. And so just add to the things that were said that would be most helpful to them in carrying out the call you have on their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies.